Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Well, today I'm giving you another news of Planet of the Apes. It amazes me that back in the day, it took me a week to get enough news to fill an hour. Now I could probably do it every single day. And the reason you're getting a news show today instead of tomorrow is I had to reschedule Greg Palast for Friday. So Greg will be on Friday. So I figured, lots of stuff in the news. Might as well do a news show today. So sit on back and get ready to hear it at rapid fire. Anyway, let's get over to Wisconsin, where I guess everybody's a Katherine Harris this year. If you don't know what that means, we'll find out on Friday. A Wisconsin city clerk's been complaining for months she doesn't have the money or the staff to offer early voting, but a newly released email suggests she's trying to rig the election against the Democratic Party, which is usually the way it goes with stolen elections on this level. Chris Teske is the city clerk in Green Bay. She's the Katherine Harris there. Argued that her office lacks the resources to set up an additional polling location near the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. But an email released as part of an open records request found her cooking up a convoluted legal claim to prevent students from voting, mostly because she knows they'll vote Democrat. This was reported in The Nation. The city made national news during the primary in April when voters near the campus endured long lines and chaos to cast their ballots. A federal court in August upheld an earlier decision to allow Wisconsin election officials to offer longer early voting hours, and city clerks in Madison and Milwaukee have done so. But Teske, appointed by Republican Mayor Jim Schmidt, a close friend and ally of Scott Walker, their criminal governor, bristled at requests from a very persistent Democratic state lawmaker, Eric Genrich, to open an additional polling location near the campus. She said, "I was reading the statutes and it read, no site may be designated that affords an advantage to any political party," said Teske. UWGB is a polling location for students and residents on election day, but I feel by asking for this to be the site for early voting is encouraging the students to vote more than benefiting the city as a whole. That's when Teske thought she found a legal loophole to stop students from casting ballots. She said, "I've heard it said that students lean more towards the Democrats, and he's a Democrat. I've spoken with our chief of staff and others at City Hall, and they agree that budget-wise, this isn't going to happen." And this is truly how elections are stolen, amongst so many other ways. Teske explicitly asked the attorney from the bipartisan state commission whether she could deny students additional hours to vote because they were more likely to cast ballots for Democratic candidates. She said, "I'd like to know your thoughts on this. Do I have an argument about it being more of a benefit to the Democrats?" Well, isn't that kind of what the Supreme Court said in 2000, that if they allowed a recount to happen, it would crush and hurt George Bush? Wisconsin Republicans haven't been shy about admitting they're rigging election laws against students. State Representative Glenn Grothman, who sponsored legislation to cut early voting, bragged after the primary in April that Republicans would carry his state in November thanks to restrictive voting laws he helped put in place. All right, Bob Fitrakis and Harv Wasserman have been covering stolen elections as long as I have and as long as Greg Palast has had a piece. They said Trump's racist rigged election attack is as old as America. Donald Trump's demand for monitors at polling places to prevent a rigged election is an old and ugly story. It's obviously aimed KKK style at stopping black and Hispanic citizens from voting. But in fact, both major parties have used such terror tactics and updated electronic ones since the birth of the nation. Well, there you have it. Have we ever had a real election? Obviously not. Well, Trump getting ready to lose, even though he's preparing his Trump TV and whatnot. He's got a whole lot of problems. He's probably rethinking real hard about what a stupid decision it was to run for president. But he's got all kinds of stuff happening to him, his businesses, his buildings. Trump has also stopped holding high-dollar fundraisers that were raising big cash for the GOP. The decision by Trump, described to the Post by his finance chairman, deals another serious blow to the GOP's ability to finance the get-out-the-vote efforts before Election Day, as it continues to get thrown, of course, the Soros pick and the Zionist pick to Hillary Clinton. I gave you the story on asking soldiers and veterans for their bonus money back, which is an embarrassment to this country, and of course their way of supporting the troops. But now that the story is out, oops, everybody wants to change it. Obama now has said, hurry up and wait, on waiving soldiers' debts after the New York Times revealed thousands of California National Guard soldiers are being forced to repay enlistment bonuses improperly given to them a decade ago. Members of Congress want the Pentagon to stop. The White House's response, it's not that easy. A spokesman said Obama's ordered a speedy review of soldiers' appeals and that the U.S. would not nickel and dime its soldiers, but he wasn't yet backing bipartisan calls to fully forgive what could add up to $70 million in overpayments. What's that? It's a drop in the bucket compared to the trillions the Pentagon keeps losing. Secretary of Defense Ash Carter ordered the Pentagon to suspend all efforts to collect reimbursement from thousands of California National Guard members who were improperly given enlistment bonuses. And I guess it didn't matter when they wanted the money back whether their arms and legs were blown off. But that's the way it goes. Well, I said, what about the people that have already been in debt trying to pay it back? Do they get their money back? No mention of that. Okay, Trump is planning to cut a ribbon on his new D.C. hotel, and he's going to have a lot of problems because protesters will also be there. It's a hotel ribbon cutting unlike any Washington has ever seen. Members of the Trump family are scheduled to ceremonially open the hotel today. But much like the hotel's opening itself didn't quite go off without a hitch, the Trump Organization ran into trouble permitting its event on the sidewalk outside the hotel in the old post office pavilion on Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. The Trump subsidiary that applied for the permit withdrew the application Tuesday. The local chapter of the AFL-CIO, which had applied for a permit before Trump, was granted a permit to stage a protest on the sidewalk in support of employees of Trump's Las Vegas hotel. Well, in this political climate, with Trump alienating constituencies left and right, the focus has been more on the hotel brand's namesake than its offerings. Protests have been frequent. Anti-Trump graffiti has been spray-painted. Meeting planners are clamming up, hesitant to book some of the newest, highest-end space on the market. And the mayor won't even be present to cut the ribbon today. After taking Trump to task via Twitter after he talked about D.C. as a dangerous, crime-ridden place. So all his ugliness seems to be backing up on him, and I think that Trumpism and the word Trump will be forever connected to shysters and haters. But I guess we'll have to see how it shakes out. The Roman Catholic Church has now given you, it took till 1963 for them to give its members the permission to cremate their dead instead of burying their dead. And now you even have rules on what to do with the cremated remains. The Catholic Church removed their prohibition on cremation in 63, but they're also urging its members not to store cremated remains at home. Now they're told they have to bury them. This goes to their Bible, which I remember, you know, when people believe, oh, there's going to be a resurrection of the dead and you're going to use that body again, which was the reason that you weren't allowed to cremate, because after all, who wouldn't want to reanimate a totally worm-ridden body? But the same Bible also tells you that once a body is dead, that it becomes unholy and dirty. So maybe they should look at all their look at all the things that don't make any sense that actually argue against themselves in the Bible. So if you're a Catholic and you're going to cremate your loved ones, you've got to bury them. So there you have it. Just in case that unholy dirty body wants to be reused against. Talk about the zombie apocalypse. Okay, here locally, Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio has formally been charged with criminal contempt. According to the Arizona Republic, he has finally been charged. U.S. District Judge Susan Bolton signed a proposed order initially submitted by prosecutors in October, charging the controversial sheriff with federal contempt of court, and his trial date is set for December 6th in U.S. District Court in Phoenix. Well, the charges come 2 weeks before voters go to the polls, where Arpaio is trailing badly. He's 84 years old. You know, if they force retirement on people, why is this guy still sheriff? Sheriff of hatred. Okay, the Cincinnati cop who shot Samuel DuBose is facing a murder trial as the city of Cincinnati braces for protests. The former University of Cincinnati police officer who fatally shot Samuel during a traffic stop for a missing license plate, dead for a license plate, is going to face murder charges this week. And city officials and activists are getting ready for revived protests. But remember, facing charges and getting convicted, two different stories. Less than 3% of cops seem to get convicted, and they kill you for a traffic stop for a missing license plate. Of course, we don't have to guess what color Samuel was. So let's go to the war on women around the world. I don't know why male energy is so threatened by women's energy. And this from El Salvador. Inside a woman's prison in El Salvador, on the outskirts of the capital, is a dangerous neighborhood called Lopango. At least 21 women are serving sentences for abortions they say they never had. All these women claim they were jailed for miscarrying their babies. And that will happen here. It has happened here. But it will happen even more so with Trump and his fake Christian partner, hater of women, Mike Pence. They want to try to save the white hatred and prejudices of the past. They want to bring us back 100 years in this country, and that's El Salvador. So I guess when John Lennon wrote that song in the 60s, "Woman is the Nigger of the World," nothing has changed. Let's go to Standing Rock, where they're calling on the Justice Department to probe the arrest and the abuses by law enforcement. The North Dakota tribe opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline, they've now been joined by celebrities like Mark Ruffalo, Susan Sarandon, Robert Redford. I saw Greg Palast's face in a picture with them this morning. Calling on U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch, who's always on the side of the cops, to investigate law enforcement tactics against activists as protests, blockades, arrests, and violence intensify. But of course, when the Bundy family were doing that, because they were white and armed, they were all palling around with them. But the Native Americans getting slaughtered just like back in the day. Donald Trump has close financial ties to the Dakota Access Pipeline Company. This story not in America, off The Guardian in the UK. Trump's close financial ties to Energy Transfer Partners, operators of the Dakota Access oil pipeline, have been laid bare, with the presidential candidate invested in the company and receiving more than $100,000 in campaign contributions from its chief executive. So if you think either one of these candidates are going to stop the destruction of Earth, think again, because they're all heavily invested, just like they're all heavily invested in the prisons for profits. Okay, some Obamacare premiums going up a lot this year, and just in time for the election. Premiums on the Affordable Care Act marketplace set to rise by double digits in 2017. Before subsidies, the average monthly cost of a benchmark silver plan will increase by 22% in states that use healthcare.gov or where data is otherwise available. So there you go. It was a giveaway to the insurance companies from the beginning, and nothing's changing. How would you like some oil with your food? Let's go to California this off Echo Watch. The use of oil wastewater for food irrigation is expanding rapidly in California. Would you eat oranges grown with oil wastewater? And you might already be eating them without even knowing it. Wonderful Citrus, the U.S. largest citrus grower and the company behind the popular Halo's Mandarins and Be Sweet Citrus, another huge citrus grower, are using leftover wastewater from oil companies to irrigate their citrus and then putting little pink ribbons on them to sell them. And there you have it. We're eating swill all the time. Another reason to go organic. Well, the prison strike is still continuing, even though you don't see any coverage in the media on that. And now, what are the prison officials up to this time? Well, now they've decided to block mail and visits, trying to stifle prison organizing. Prisoners participating in the strike against slave labor at facilities in Texas, South Carolina, and Oregon, and other states, are speaking out after authorities allegedly blocked members of the media from visiting with them and rejected mail from supporters and media organizations containing news from the outside. And there you go with the freedom of the press from Dakota to the prisons, where now it's illegal to report on real news and you'll just tell the news that the conglomerates want you to know. Okay, let's go to Florida and what's happening there with the vote. Well, Latino voters are showing up in unprecedented numbers. That's number one for the early voting. And since Trump has pissed off every Latino in this country except, I don't know, a few that for whatever reason think he's going to be their pal, they are voting in unprecedented numbers, and I'm sure not for Trump. So this is good news for Clinton, bad news for Trump. Clinton's campaign reported an unprecedented 133,000 Latinos have cast early ballots ahead of the election, a 99% increase in Latino voters compared to the same point in 2012. The 133,000 votes consist of vote by mail and absentee ballots. Yeah, let's hope they even get counted. Early voting in Florida started on Monday. The state's Division of Elections released numbers Tuesday. They show 1.6 million Floridians have already voted. The Clinton campaign called it a promising sign for the Democratic nominee because Latinos make up 17% of the electorate in Florida. So nearly 75% of Latinos surveyed in Florida indicated that they would most likely vote for Clinton. But there you go, everybody out there buying the Kool-Aid, drinking the Kool-Aid, buying the program. And everybody on the TV news talking about, oh, we're going to have riots and all kinds of violence after this election. So what are they preparing people for or programming them to do is the other thing. And unfortunately, people follow along and do what their media tells them to do. Okay, Congress knew at least for 2 years about the Pentagon efforts to take back those bonuses from veterans. It goes back to what did they know, when did they know it. The California National Guard told the state members of Congress 2 years ago that the Pentagon was trying to claw back those reenlistment bonuses from thousands of soldiers, and they even offered a proposal to mitigate the problem, but Congress, as usual, took no action because to them, you are just dumb animals. That's their idea of support the troops. But anything Israel tells them to do, they're Johnny on the spot. Okay, let's go over to those cell phones and all those conveniences that they give you, like, ooh, unlocking your phone with your fingerprint. Well, here's a story for that. Police want to 3D print a dead man's fingers to unlock his phone. In 2014, a judge controversially ruled that living suspects can be required to unlock a phone with a fingerprint. While the Fifth Amendment protects the right to avoid self-incrimination and makes it illegal to force someone to give out a passcode. But now they'll make a 3D of your dead hand to open up your phone. Another reason not to have one. I know people still can't believe that I don't have one, but I see no reason to ever want to have one. I don't need my life to be that convenient. All right, let's see what else. We've got lots of people, by the way, joining those protests against that Dakota Access Pipeline. A lot of people from different religions now are also supporting the Native Americans there, and several Hollywood stars, like I mentioned before. Over 800 protesters gathered in Los Angeles to show support for the activists demonstrating against the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline on Native American lands in North Dakota. How is it that the candidates aren't talking about that? They're never talking about anything important. It's he said, she said, you did this, you zoomed this one, you zoomed that, you're a rapist, your husband's a rapist. Bullshit, that's what we get. All right, pregnant Native American single mother has been killed by the police. When police were dispatched to 23-year-old Renee Davis's house Friday night, they were supposed to check on the pregnant and reportedly suicidal Davis. But as usual, the Native American single mother of three was fatally shot that night by cops on Muckleshoot tribal land in Washington State. They're hardly ever included in people killed by cops, and yet they seem to be the largest group killed by cops. And the slaughter of the Native American continues. All right, Volkswagen, wow, they got hit with quite the settlement for their shady deals. A judge approved a $15 billion Volkswagen emissions settlement. This federal judge was in San Francisco. He approved a $15 billion court settlement of most claims against Volkswagen for its emissions cheating scandal. The order okays the largest auto scandal settlement in the nation's history. About 475,000 owners of Volkswagens and Audis with 2-liter four-cylinder diesel engines will be able to seek buybacks of their vehicles starting next Tuesday. So you might, if you're driving one of those, you might want to go visit your dealer. Let's go to China, where, you know, Bush Sr. and absolutely Bill Clinton sold us up the river, and let's look at one of the end results. The military is concerned that Chinese computer products could pose a cybersecurity threat. The Pentagon's Joint Staff recently warned against using equipment made by China's Lenovo computer manufacturer amid concerns about cyber spying against Pentagon networks, according to defense officials. Why is our Department of Defense using anything coming from China? Okay, what happened to support American jobs? A recent internal report produced by the J2 Intelligence Directorate stated that cybersecurity officials are concerned that Lenovo computers and handheld devices could introduce compromised hardware into the Defense Department supply chain, posing cyber espionage risk, according to officials familiar with the report. The supply chain is how the Pentagon refers to its global network of supplies that provide key components for weapons and other military systems. The J2 report was sent on September 28th, contained a warning that Lenovo was seeking to purchase American information technology companies in a bid to gain access to classified Pentagon and military information networks. The report warned that use of Lenovo products could facilitate cyber intelligence gathering against both classified and unclassified, but still sensitive, U.S. military networks. Why are they worrying about this or talking about this on the campaign instead of the same old, oh, Hillary's private server? Well, the Bush administration used private servers too. Nobody's talking about that. How about the Pentagon using Chinese equipment, where they openly want to steal our secrets? One official said Lenovo equipment in the past was detected beaconing, covertly communicating with remote users in the course of cyber intelligence gathering. The official said there's no way that the company or any Chinese company should be doing business in the United States after all the recent hacking incidents. And yet, all that talk, and I'm sure nothing will change. All right, the two-week stretch, I think we're less than 2 weeks now. I don't know anybody that can't wait for this election to be over. Live from Trump Tower, 2 weeks from now, Election Day will be here, and the results are, well, as Donald said, we'll keep you in suspense on that. Clinton and Trump both scheduled a campaign in Florida, which they did. And amid speculation that Trump is going to launch a media network after the election, his campaign started a nightly online show from Trump Tower to bypass the mainstream media. So I guess for the small percentage of psychos that follow Trump and who want to kill for Trump, they can go watch his stupid-ass late-night show. Unbelievable. And one thing Trump doesn't like is to lose or to fail. Well, he should be used to it because he tends to be a loser and he tends to fail like most of his businesses. But this might be the final blow for him. Maybe we'll never have to see his face again. Not that looking at Hillary for 4 years is going to be any better. That I can tell you. Okay, a prominent Democrat connected to the Clintons donated $675,000 to the campaign of the deputy FBI director's wife, you know, the one who said she didn't do anything improper. The latest allegation of potential impropriety and conflict of interest involving the Democrats and the FBI, which over the summer famously cleared Clinton of any criminal wrongdoing, as relates to her personal email server, comes not from a Podesta email or a WikiLeaks disclosure, but the Wall Street Journal, which overnight reported the political organization of Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, an influential Democrat with long-standing ties to Bill and Hillary, gave nearly $500,000 to the election campaign of the wife of an official at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who later helped oversee the investigation into Clinton's email use. What a coincidence. Campaign finance records show McAuliffe's Political Action Committee donated $467,500 to the 2015 state Senate campaign of Dr. Jill McCabe, who's now married to Andrew McCabe, who's now the deputy director of the FBI. So it happens on both sides, my friends, because anybody that believes that anything that goes on in our elections, which are never elections, they're selections of the worst among us, is legit, well, then I guess you're going to go vote for your two-party, one-party system. Okay, the hard-fought presidential race isn't the only big issues that we decide on election day. California and four other states are voting on whether or not to allow recreational marijuana use. If we're successful, said California's lieutenant governor, it's the beginning of the end of the war on marijuana, and that needs to end, okay? This is their way. I have this discussion with so many of my friends. They take our youngest and our strongest and for pot, put them in jail to work like slave labor, as those prison revolts are making very clear, for corporations. So why would they want it to be legal? They need our young, our strong, our healthy, and they don't really care that a pot conviction can ruin your life forever. Hard time finding a job, somebody to rent to you, so much over pot. So let's get over to the one newspaper owner, criminal, Israeli Zionist criminal, Sheldon Adelson, who is backing Trump in his shitty Las Vegas newspaper. What else did this, I mean, super ugly, I don't know if you've seen this picture, but super ugly, makes Quasimodo look like Brad Pitt, betting $500,000 against Arizona's marijuana measure. He owns the Sands Casino and the Las Vegas Review Journal newspaper. He's a top GOP donor. He's also wanted on criminal charges in Israel and gave $500,000 to the No campaign for Arizona's Proposition 205. The measure legalizes marijuana. Adelson's also donated $2 million to oppose marijuana legislation in Nevada and $1 million against legalized pot in Massachusetts. There's plenty of business opposition to Proposition 205. Is he afraid people won't come to his casino and drink themselves to death? But there's also ample money backing the Arizona legal pot measure. And I hope that passes. And I know I voted for it. But this is Citizens United. This is from the Supreme Court that Donald Trump loved the way it was, who allowed this kind of big money, not only in our presidential elections, but all the way down to the election on the street and even the propositions in your town. So even though 60% at a low gas of Americans want pot to be legal, We have to fight these ugly, disgusting men who still want the things the way they want it to be, like in the days of the Rat Pack. Well, those days are over. And there you have it. The Justice Department said they're going to send election observers to polling places in 4 states on Election Day, which is a significant drop from 2012, which is a joke, as usual. And the pullback, of course, is worrying civil rights advocates who are fearful of intimidation of minorities at polling places, thanks to Trump telling his crazy white people to make sure they go and assault people pretty much as they vote. And officials say their hands are tied by the 2013 Supreme Court decision that gutted the heart of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And little by little, they have chipped away to where we have no rights and we are totally a corporatocracy. And how many years? 20 years almost on the net. Warning people this would come. Now it's here and people are like, what do we do? What do you do? What do you do? It's a good question. Okay, I'm going to take a short break. I'll be back. I've got plenty more news. And the next story should excite everybody out there because God knows it made me very happy. So stay with me. I'll be right back.
Spiritual Professor is a name some of Maria's students and clients refer to her as. After a consultation or class with Maria, some have gone as far as calling her the Force or the Oracle. Maria is simply a woman, a mother, and grandmother who was born with a keen natural intuition. She's got a lot of life experience and she's a constant student herself. This is what qualifies her to help those who are on their journey and need some direction. Some students visit her in person, others on the phone or on Skype. Maria will work with you on your own timeline, guiding you down your best possible path. You can learn to balance the mind, body, and spirit in what seems to be a world gone mad. As David Icke says about Maria, Maria's the real deal, extremely intuitive but with her feet firmly on the ground. Out there, but down here, no bullshit. Whatever you need in this part of your journey is what Maria will help you with. She'll give you the tools you need to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See private consultations with Maria on the site at meria.net and pick the one that resonates with you. You are not alone. The professor is in at meria.net. Now back to the show.
Well, alrighty, welcome back to News of Planet of the Apes. And I gotta tell you, this next story is fabuloso. And believe it or not, I got it off the Times of Israel. Palestinians announce a year-long campaign against the crime of the Balfour Declaration. Now, if you're new to the show and you didn't catch my early years where I talked in depth about how Palestine was ripped away from the people, the Semites, true Semites in Palestine, and handed over to people that had no right to have it, this will help clear it up. Marking centenary of the 1917 document that led to the revived Jewish state, Palestinian officials said the aim is to remind the world to face the responsibility for the Jewish colonialist project. Activities and events will take place worldwide. They'll be launched on November 2nd and end on November 2nd, 2017, the 100-year mark since British Foreign Secretary Arthur James Balfour announced his government's intention to establish a national home for the Jewish people in the Land of Israel. But at the time, it wasn't the Land of Israel, it was Palestine. Signed by Balfour in 1917, the declaration was seen as giving the Zionist movement official recognition and backing on the part of a major power on the eve of the British conquest of the then Ottoman territory of Palestine. Calling the declaration a colonialist project, Taysir Khalid, a member of the Executive Committee of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, said the new Palestinian effort was intended to remind the world, and particularly Britain, that they should face the historic responsibility and atone for the big crime Britain has committed against the Palestinian people. They say they're preparing a lawsuit against the British government over the 1917 document that paved the way for the creation of the State of Israel. Palestinian Authority's foreign minister, Riyad al-Malki, said at the time that London was responsible for all Israeli crimes committed since the end of the British mandate in 1948. The decision gave people who don't belong there something that wasn't theirs, and that's colonialism, something the U.S. is very well known around the world for as well. I will post a link to this, and as I said, it's from the timesofisrael.com, and I'm on the side of the Palestinians who are indeed the true Semites. Okay, so anybody says you're anti-Semite, I say no, I happen to like Palestinian people. All right, another report exposing Trump for rape and his disgusting lifestyle. I always remember what my mama used to say, men don't change, they only change when they're dead, and they only refer to as good when they're dead, because they're dead, and leopards never change their spots, and that's why these stories are important, because I'm sure Bill Clinton, if he was capable, is still the same pig he was all his life. Trump hosted cocaine-fueled parties with underage girls. Remember, he now has gotten his rape lawsuit postponed until December, so we could have a rapist once again in the White House. Anyway, back to this story. Sources who attended shindigs say that Trump was getting laid like crazy at Plaza Hotel soirees that included models as young as 15 hoping to advance their careers. The parties were held in the plaza, which Trump owned from 1988 till 1992, when he could no longer manage the debt load and came to an agreement to give up a large share of the building to his creditors, according to sources who actually attended the parties and spoke to U.S. news outlet. A photographer who attended some of those parties and wanted to stay anonymous said that the models were enticed to attend by being promised that you'll meet rich guys who will help you. Sort of like Melania, who is all wants to sue everybody, and all the other women that he used as sex slaves, I'm sure. And the attraction for the men were young girls assuming they'd get somewhere. The photographer said the girls were as young as 15 and over their heads. They had no idea and they ended up in situations, he reported to the Daily Beast. There were always dramas because the men threw money and drugs at them to keep them enticed. It's based on power and dominating girls who can't push back and can be discarded. There's always someone to pick them back up. Nobody wants to call home and say, help me. Trump would allegedly wander through the parties enjoying himself. They said Trump was in and out. He'd wander off with a couple of girls. I saw him. He was getting laid like crazy, said the photographer. And Trump was at the heart of it. He loved the attention, and in private, he was a total fucking beast. There was no response from Trump's team to the report, the latest in a series of tawdry scandals dogging his campaign, including allegations of sexual assault. And now, what is Trump's answer? I'm going to sue those women when I'm president. And so far, there are lawyers that said they will defend those women for free. And, some of them were too ugly. Do you think I would go with something like that? Blah, blah, blah. You know what? He'd probably, I don't even want to say it. I'm trying to keep my mouth clean today. But I wouldn't put anything past these people. Remember, the rich don't think like us. The majority of them are sociopaths. And you and I will never understand the way they are because we're normal. Okay? It's as simple as that. And Trump dismissed his latest accuser, who is an adult film star, porn star. I somewhere have the whole story on this, but I can give it to you in a nutshell. He, of course, this week disparaged her. She accused him of touching her inappropriately. He dismissed her as a porn star and said, oh, I'm sure she's never been grabbed before. That's his answer to everything. The woman is Jessica Drake, who over the weekend accused Trump of groping and kissing her without her permission in 2006. And then he also offered her $10,000 and to use his jet wherever she wanted to go to come to his hotel room. Remember, this was right at the time he married his beautiful Melania, who still stands by her man. Okay, I never agreed on Hillary's stand-a-bike bill, and she's demonized for that by Trump, and yet his wife's doing the same thing, and he's got nothing to say about it. Okay, let's get over to more trouble for Trump, because listen, I'd love to give you as much news about Hillary, but she's old news. I've covered her for 17 years. There's nothing, there's like nonstop shit on Trump. Trump campaign super PAC is now facing new foreign donor scandal involving Chinese millions. The latest scandal, this was in the Telegraph, involves campaign fundraising. On Monday, the Telegraph out of the UK exposed key Trump proponents who were prepared to accept illicit donations from foreign backers. In return, pay for play, undercover reporters expected to receive political power and influence if Trump wins the election. The Great American PAC, a Trump super PAC, was reportedly seeking $2 million in funds from a Chinese donor to help elect Trump. A consultant from the Great America PAC, Jesse Benton, said the funds would definitely allow us to spend $2 million more dollars on digital and TV ads for Trump. Well, if you're going to kiss the ass, and believe me, they're all in bed with everybody, and could talk about conflicts of interest, of course, if the Chinese are going to give you $2 million, that's a pay-for-play, in my opinion, because nobody gives you that kind of money without expecting something in return. You know, what do you say? You know, if it looks too good to be true, it is. And nobody, that's just the way it goes. Okay, they're blaming climate change. I just say the world twirls, okay? The world's evolving. Earth grows old and changes just like human beings do. It's a living organism. But they're blaming climate change for China's seas of desert sands that are growing, creating thousands of climate refugees. Maybe it's more like weather manipulation to force them into those little tiny boxes in cities for Agenda 21, which even the Pope is okay with, and Hillary. Deserts in China have expanded by 21,000 square miles since 1975. And like I said, they're blaming it on climate change. Okay, this off the Federal Reserve, I thought you'd find it interesting, because I did. They put out bulletins every day. Most of it's bullshit I don't even pay attention to. But this one caught my eye. Agencies issue an exception on real estate transactions from the appraisal requirements for transactions in areas affected by severe storms and flooding in Louisiana. But of course, they're not going to make it easy. Four federal financial institution regulatory agencies issued an exception from the appraisal requirements for real estate-related financial transactions in the parishes declared to be in a major disaster area due to the severe storms and flooding in Louisiana. The agencies will not require financial institutions to obtain appraisals for affected transactions for the time period specified, which is not a long time period, if certain conditions are met. The exceptions being made under the Financial Institutions Reform, Recovery, and Enforcement Act and its implementing regulations. The value of the property is required to support the institution's decision to enter into the transaction, and financial institutions that rely on the appraisal exception should maintain sufficient valuation information, estimating the collateral's value that supports their credit decision in the loan file. The agency will monitor institutions' use of the appraisal exception to ensure real estate-related transactions are being originated in a manner consistent with safe and sound banking practices. There's an oxymoron. Well, the exception expires next December on New Year's Eve, 2017. And I know I have a lot of you listeners in Louisiana and a lot of other states that were hit by Hurricane Matthew, so I'm sure eventually these laws will apply to you too. Okay, let's see. I'm going to skip the adult film star's whole story on what happened with her and Trump. There's plenty of it online if you want to read it. But I think the number now is like up to, I don't know, 14 women. And people say, why did they wait this long? What woman wants to admit to that when she becomes the victim in the public eye? She becomes the Scheherazade. She seduced him. It was always the victim blaming and shaming that goes on. Why would women come out? Look how long it took for the women to come out against Bill Cosby, figuring A, nobody would believe them, and B, that they would be treated like dirt, which they were. Okay, and if you're not a woman, you're really just never going to understand that, okay? So let's go to the war on women, okay, because there's a lot of crazy stories in the news. So now you got to be afraid to even fly on an airplane without getting groped, okay? Listen, when I grew up in New York, there were no sexual harassment laws. There were no protections for women. Every time you got on a crowded subway, you were going to get dry humped or felt up one way or the other. And, you know, that happened to me at work a lot as well, and none of my bosses gave a damn, so I had to start slapping the shit out of some guys I worked with when the bosses weren't looking. But now all that wonderfulness is about to come back to America. Woman publicly shames her alleged plane groper after the cops dismissed it as not the crime of the century. That's a man's attitude. It wasn't the crime of the century. I say women should just start kicking these men in their balls and say, oh, I guess this isn't the crime of the century either. Trump's largest scandal, bragging that he could grab them by the pussy, inspired many women to come forward talking about the times they were sexually harassed, assaulted, or groped. And then it happened to Ariana Lenarski, and she took action because no one else would. She started tweeting about the incident boarding a plane. She said, some guy grabbed and stroked my calf as I walked on the plane, walked by him. So I took his picture. She says, I'm not going to post it, but I hope he's freaking out. Well, she ended up posting the picture because the cops didn't do diddly squat for her. She freaked them out, she said, by taking his photo. She says she told the flight attendant what happened, learned that another woman had complained about the same man, saying something similar had happened to her. This was in the Sydney Morning Herald. After she was seated, she went to speak to the flight attendants again to see what they were doing about the incidents. She said, the captain's been informed and local police were going to meet them when they landed, but it was too late to kick them off the flight. She went back to her seat feeling depressed about it. Once they landed in Los Angeles, she and the other woman gave a statement to the police, and Lenarski learned the man had tried to kiss the other woman. Then she was told that because it happened on a Texas runway, she could only press charges from Texas and would have to pay for her own flight back to Texas to do that. The other woman's incident took place while they were in the air, which falls under the FBI's jurisdiction, but she refused to pursue charges against the groper. They assured her they gave the man a talking to, but that his actions were hardly the crime of the century. Meanwhile, they killed that kid for an improper plate or a missing plate, but the gropers, because he was white and he looked like a young guy, fairly good looking, you got to say, the kid had a couple of screws loose for sure. But maybe that's why, you know, it was hardly the crime of the century, and the cops took him off the plane. And she said the legal term for how he grabbed me is battery. She said she kept tweeting. She said he tried to kiss the other women. She doesn't want to press charges because it happened in the sky. It would involve the FBI. And then she said, since it's no big deal, she said, I'm going to tweet his picture now, since it's no big deal. And then she kept posting. She says, you can't grab a woman on a plane. You just can't do it. And she said, I hope you get the help you need, and posted his picture on Twitter. I'll put a link to his picture in today's show description. I think we need a site for gropers and rapists and psycho men so women can check them all out. Maybe we need to shame them all by putting their pictures up. And she said, since it wasn't the crime of the century, it shouldn't be a big deal revealing who the man is. But unfortunately for her and other women, complaints of sexual harassment, groping, and even sexual assault are still not taken seriously, even by law enforcement. And that's the way it goes. So here's another interesting story. I told you about the man who raped his 12-year-old daughter repeatedly, who got 60 days in jail. How about this story? Man gets just 10 days in jail after throwing a woman off a balcony after she refused to have sex with him. Another case of a man getting off easy for assault, a Tennessee man sentenced to 10 days in prison after he threw a woman off a hotel balcony because she wouldn't have sex with him. The Times News of Kingsport reported 24-year-old Wesley Dillon Marshall will serve less than 2 weeks in jail after he angrily pushed a 19-year-old woman from a second-story balcony in July. They say Marshall checked into a room at the Churchill Motel in July along with another man and a young woman who was celebrating her birthday. At some point during the evening, she agreed to have sex with the other man who was in the room. But when Marshall asked if he could have sex with her as well, she refused. I guess he wanted a gangbang. Well, at that point, he got angry and pushed her off the balcony. When the cops got to the scene, the young woman was crying on the ground, and officers said they could detect the scent of alcohol, not reefer madness pot. They could detect the scent of alcohol on both men. In addition to being sentenced to just 10 days in jail, he's also been ordered to serve 11 months on probation. Big deal. As well as 96 hours of community service. I say, why don't you take him and push him off the balcony, like of the Empire State Building. See how well he does. All right, Elizabeth Warren's been smacking down Trump all over the place. This week she said on November 8th, we nasty women are going to march our nasty feet to cast our nasty votes to get you out of our lives forever. Nasty women, gotta say, gotta love that little tagline. Boy, he's made so many mistakes or faux pas, which I think were all deliberate in this campaign, that you can't keep track of all of them. And Trump's Mexican rapist rants have cost his D.C. hotel two top-tier celebrity chefs. Nobody even wants to cook in any of his places. All right, so let's get over to this story. Let me think. I got this off, ZDNet, which is kind of similar to Wired magazine. How security flaws in voting machines could discredit election results. Security experts say voting machines are easy to tamper with. Last week, Symantec released the results of a simulated election they ran during the Black Hat Conference in August using an electronic voting machine they bought at an auction. The company found numerous vulnerabilities in the machine that left it open to manipulation, even though you see Obama and the rest of them saying, oh no, none of this could possibly happen. It's all local machines, they're not connected to the web, and then the paper ballots, bing, bang, zoom. Such bullshit, okay? Well, not every voting machine's easy to hack, and there's no evidence a single corrupted machine or even multiple machines would have any measurable effects on election results. Well, they did in 2000, but the prospect of manipulation alone is enough to threaten the integrity of the entire system in the event of a close contest. People are asking me, and I said, no, they're going to have to show Hillary winning by a landslide, so they'll toss it that way. Because if it's close, we're going to go through the same bullshit we went through in 2000. Anyway, Brian Varner, a security expert at Symantec, said there's a real issue in play here. The idea that every vote counts is at the heart of our democracy, so relying on outdated technology to count those votes can undermine confidence in the process that's central to our system of government. American voters will cast their ballots using one of nearly two dozen different models of electronic voting machines manufactured by 15 companies. Why isn't it standard across the country? How many years do we have to ask that question? Well, they all fall into two general categories, optical scan paper ballots and direct recording electronics, which they call DREs, systems. In precincts using optical scan systems, voters mark their ballots in pencil and then put them into a scanning device that records the data and stores it electronically, although people are already saying with early voting, they're actually watching their votes flip in front of their own eyes. The paper ballot falls into a secure box after that in the event officials have to manually recount the vote. But security experts say the DRE machines, which allows voters to select their candidate with a push-button touchscreen system, with vote counts stored on an internal hard drive or removable storage, are easiest to exploit. And they proved that in 2000. Technology varies between models, but at least three widely used DRE systems are proven to be sitting ducks for anyone with basic hacking skills. Anyone who knows how to program a chip card and purchases a simple $15 Raspberry Pi-like device could secretly reactivate their voter card while inside the privacy of a voting booth, said Varner. Varner said he was able to reset the card, pay attention to this one, to allow an individual to vote multiple times and also managed to program the card itself to cast multiple votes. In both approaches, the attacker is stuffing the digital ballot box and casting doubt in the validity of the results from that polling station. Symantec also warned that a lack of encryption on the system's removable software device makes it easily exploitable, requiring only a single device to reprogram the compact hard drive. Appel called on Congress to outlaw the DRE machines, pay attention, immediately after the November election. In several key battleground states, ballots will be nearly impossible to verify. And there you go, the illusion of voting, the illusion of your vote counts. And there you have it. God bless America, right? Anyway, a couple of earthquakes today worth mentioning. Tonga had a 5.6, followed by a 6.1. Turkmenistan had a 5.8. And that's pretty much all the news at Planet of the Apes. God knows how much more there'll be between now and Monday when I give you another news show. Don't forget to tune in Friday and hear my interview with Greg Palast. Greg's been on the case since 2000. And I'm sure nothing really much has changed, except it's probably gotten a lot worse. We'll talk about his excellent film. If you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend it. The best democracy money can buy. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the show. Thank you for being awake. And I'll see you guys Friday.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.